right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 448. I am your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by a man who is only showing one less game than Nintendo at E3 this year, Wombat.
How do you know that?
You could be showing more games than Nintendo.
Yeah, you don't know that. I didn't send you my schedule.
That's a good point. Sorry, Wombat.
Maybe I've been working on things.
You have been busy.
Well, they have to be playable to count.
It's totally playable. They are totally playable, I should say.
I just threw up. Are you talking about your penis? You're talking about your penis.
Of course I am.
Why are you always talking about your penis?
Why are you talking about it in plural?
I think I was really referring to my balls, really, in that one.
Why are you talking about your peni?
Because I like it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. The week without my family continues. I'm still here. I haven't gone insane yet, and I'm bathed in everything.
Is it weird?
It's pretty weird. It's pretty quiet around here, you know, without these
guys. Do you wait for someone to come home and no one comes home and then you get depressed?
No, I'm aware of the situation, of the schedule and what day it is and such. I'm not that out of it. I will admit to like wishing that somebody was coming home at some point, but I'm not expecting them to come home.
Well, you're more than welcome to join me. I think I'm going bowling tomorrow. So
nice, dude.
On a Thursday night?
No, on a Thursday afternoon. What? My daughter has no school.
Oh, okay. So you have no
work. So it's me and her. Yeah, so I'm home with her, and I was going to take her bowling.
Nice.
I
got to wait for the... thank you for inviting me. I'll be waiting for the air conditioning guy to turn on my air conditioning and to do my...
That sounds made up. That sounds like an excuse Chibi made up to not go bowling.
It's on my schedule. It's HVAC balancing also. Ooh. So how about that? From 12 to 4 only. So that's a pretty narrow range. So maybe he'll come at 12 and then I can join you guys.
There you go.
I would totally do it.
You're more than welcome to join us. I'm throwing it out.
Thank you. I'm a really good bowler, by the way.
And I'm also home with Sabrina on Friday. So if you're still bored, again, I don't know what we're doing, but you're more than welcome to join us.
Archery?
Yes, archery.
I'm really good at archery, by the way. No, I'm not.
I don't remember saying, I bet you're really bad at archery.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Well, I don't know. So, yeah, I'm just chilling here. And, I had a whole like VR tour today with Ben Gilbert that we'll talk about a little bit later. What else have I been doing? I don't know. Ping pong. I went to yoga for the first time in a year.
You had authentic-looking Japanese food.
I went tonight. You know, it's weird. Isn't this weird? Like, I was feeling, you know, a little, like, sad and homesick or something. Like, I wanted comfort food. And that's where I went. I went to the Japanese place. And I got, you know, stuff that you're really not going to get at too many restaurants around here.
Now, is that something that was on the menu? Or were you in a Japanese restaurant and you asked?
No, it's on the menu, but... You never see anybody order. There's like one menu that's like the sushi and the stuff that you would see at like, you know, like any Japanese restaurant around here.
Yeah, the stuff you'd see at a Japanese restaurant that wants to stay in business on
the Right. All the inside out roll and all that stuff. And then they have another menu. And it's not like a hidden menu that you have to ask for. They give it to everybody. But it's got all the things that you'd really find in an izakaya, like a drinking type bar, you know, a restaurant, you know, where they give you like little plates of stuff. And like authentic noodle dishes too, like soba and udon. So it's just amazing that I got to go there and I got to, you know, they talk to me in Japanese there. They call me Debito-san and, you know, they asked where my family was and then I told them and they like felt bad for me. So they were like super nice and hooked it up with the goodness. So it was a lovely experience.
Good.
Yeah.
See, I went to Japanese over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent you a picture of it.
It looked good. I like that stuff. You know I like those. I feel like you try to, like, you think you're trolling me with the pictures of the weird sushi.
I just like to get your reaction. Like, you didn't even comment on the thing that was shaped like a flower and had jalapenos and hot sauce on it.
I love that stuff, though. I think that's cool. Like, when we were living in Tokyo, we actively sought that stuff out. It was hard to find, almost impossible to find. So whenever we came back to America, we would always go to get weird sushi like that, you know, whenever E3, right? I'd always try to get you to get some of that stuff. So yeah, I like that. Was it good?
It was excellent. And it's only 5 minutes from my house.
See?
Right next to the pawn shop.
Awesome.
So you could buy a gun and then go get some sushi, right?
I suppose. And then get some froyo afterwards.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Froyo. Yeah. Now I'm getting hungry already. I just ate dinner.
You should go buy a cake.
Yeah, cake. No. Did I tell? Oh, I should tell that Passover story. So I went to.
Please do.
It's pretty short. So I got invited to my first Seder in, I don't know, 10 years or so at my aunt's house. And I sort of forgot what Passover was all about. And I knew that I should probably bring something being a good guest. So
bucket
like,
of blood.
A bucket of blood. So I brought, I went to.
So I was putting out the blood around my shitty door when my postman came by and said, look at this great blood. He kept the shitty door.
I'm going to skip but I'll skip this house.
Right.
I figured I should bring something, and there was this bakery that I always wanted to go to. And I was like, oh, it's a good opportunity to go to the bakery. So I bought a cake. And then when I got back to the car, I was like, oh, this is the holiday where you don't eat
cake. You can't bring a cake.
Can't bring a cake. So I just left it in my car and never mentioned it. And then I ate it when I got home. So it worked out well for everybody.
That's so sad.
It wasn't sad. It was glorious. That I ate
what
that
kind
cake.
Of cake was it?
It was really good. It was a lemon poppy pound cake. And the woman said at the store, she's like, don't worry if you don't like lemon. I don't like lemon, but I love this cake. I just asked them what they recommend. I don't know.
Which one of these has opiates in it?
that's all I said was, what do you recommend? Yeah, it was great. I ate it over the next 3 days. And then
there's
I threw it out.
Poppy seeds in my beer right now, actually.
That's fucked up. Don't do that. How about some show feedback?
It's from Rochester.
Is it? What's it called?
It's Magic Cat.
Oh, that's Rochester? I thought that was Vermont.
It's both.
Okay. That seems weird.
I don't know. It's right here on the label. It says South Burlington, Vermont and Rochester, New York.
Hmm. Did you like how I tried to get a discount out of the fence people by telling them I went to school like 10 minutes from where they make the fences?
I know Wombat liked that because it was a very Wombat move.
I've never done that, but I appreciate that.
Right.
Look, when you get a quote for a fence and it's like, wait, this is for a fence? You know, you try to get, and then you see that it's, you know, right by your old school. Hey, maybe you give it a shot, right? It didn't work.
Why not?
It didn't work at all.
No.
They appreciated the fact, though, that I went there. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't, we can't do that, but it's only about 15 minutes away, and we accept MasterCard and American Express and Visa. So, yeah, that was fun. All right, how about some show feedback, Wombat?
Sure. So Captain Wrong has to say,
I put a note here. Just before we go, I put a note on top of this comment, which Wombat put on here, and it says, I bet you $5 you can't read this live without it sounding like gibberish. Ready, go.
In two back-to-back stories, the glut of games that all look alike have similar names and require you to play like a part-time job to be competitive, and the rumors of unnecessary for all but a few upgrade consoles, you guys hit why this long-time but rapidly approaching middle-aged gamer is pretty delusioned with this generation. Sadly, I was most excited about Pang coming out for the PlayStation 4 because I know there's a game I won't need to shell out for a new console or become a professional gamer to have a good time playing.
What?
No, that was good. I understood.
It was?
Yeah. I got what
you owe me $5.
All right.
What?
There's a little bit of weird grammar in there, but
okay.
That just looked like a typo.
I will gladly give you $5 tomorrow.
Excellente.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. He wants something that's easy to pick up and play because he is the same age as we are, and that's all we have time for.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, he's not a fan of these games that require you to sit down and practice like it's a part-time job. And the fact that he just bought a console and now there's going to be upgrade consoles, and it's sort of cornering him out of the industry.
Interesting. I got it. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Thank you for translating.
Yeah, and I get it too, and I agree with him also. It's sort of a bummer.
That's probably why you chose that question.
But then again, we don't know how these 0.5 consoles are going to do yet. Maybe this is a failed experiment and it won't be successful. I doubt that, but it's a possibility. And then these companies will learn from their mistakes, which has never happened.
And never make a console again.
Yeah.
We're getting there somewhere. But anyway, go on.
Eventually. And Mixer 23 had to say, I thought Overwatch wasn't actually a MOBA, but draws comparisons because it has some similarities and due to the genre being so popular at the moment. I've always heard it's like Blizzard's Team Fortress 2. A few people chimed in to make sure that you knew that Overwatch wasn't a MOBA.
I never said it was a MOBA. You said it was a MOBA.
Oh, then I was wrong.
MOBA-like.
I said I was wrong.
No. We were talking about... Oh God, don't make me remember which game this is. Blood, Battle Cry.
Battleborn?
No, Battleborn? Battleborn. Sorry. Battleborn is the one that we said was like a MOBA because it had little minions and you were like choosing your skills. Overwatch, definitely not like a MOBA in any way.
And I forgot which one is which.
I know. Overwatch is the Blizzard one with has like the... All different characters that do different things, but it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it's another one of these three-syllable games.
I pre-ordered Overwatch a couple days ago. I want to get the beta start, the open beta starting soon, and Best Buy, you know, $10 rewards certificate and 20% off. So I'm in.
Sounds like a commitment, though. Like we were just talking about. This sounds like something.
It's not
the yeah. time.
It's not because it's a first person shooter. It's just a first person shooter. So you can just
no. You have to play with other people.
But it's a competitive first person shooter. So you just jump in.
Yeah,
and play.
I know.
It's not. It's just you don't have
that
to.
Is,
study.
That is the very definition of a game that requires a commitment.
No. You don't have to. It's not fucking StarCraft. You don't have to study anything.
No. You're misunderstanding.
Why is there a commitment?
It's a game that you have to be good at in order to enjoy it.
I don't think
so. And if
so.
You just want.
I don't,
yeah.
It's not that because it's like a it's you have support roles and stuff like that. So if you want to be the guy who
that's
heals,
bullshit. People, as someone who's not good at these games, but like single player games and plays a lot of them, I'm going to tell you that there's no such thing as the support guy being wanted on anyone's team.
Well, you need them on this one. What are you talking?
There's no such thing. Under no circumstances is anyone saying, "Man, you did a really good job of healing people, dying a lot, and never killing anybody."
Right. Whenever
we're
I try
so
to,
lucky to have you
I
on
try
our
to play
team.
As that class, I find that I get killed more often, and other people are reviving me.
Well, you have to know how to do it. It's usually an art to it.
Yeah, exactly. Again, proving the point.
No,
where
but I'm telling
this
you,
this game is just it's not gonna be for me.
I played the well. Okay, that's look. Just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's the other thing that you said, right?
No, this is a game that requires you to be good at it in order to enjoy it.
Okay, sure.
Competitively good.
Well, I mean, at least average, with moments of grandeur. That's what that's the best that I can achieve. So that's what I hope for.
Average with moments of grandeur. Huh?
Yeah, and this game actually will save the highlights while you're playing. So if you have a really good Overwatch round, at the end it also has the play of the game and it shows it to everybody and then it saves it.
I won't have to worry about my hard drive getting bogged up with that.
I got it while I played. I was so proud of myself. And I was on PC, so they obviously had people who weren't good. But I can see what you're saying. It could be people who just get ridiculously good at it and then you'll never touch it again.
Exactly.
But I was hyped for it, so I bought it.
The game will be fun for a week.
Good. I hope you like it.
And then the whales.
Wombat, so negative, Wombat. Relax over there.
I will do nothing of the sort.
Somebody rub Wombat's balls over there.
No, please tell me that. It's better than sitting on them.
What else we got here? Some watch this bitches?
Yes.
That's good. I'm sorry that I brought up Wombat's balls. I don't know what I was thinking. That was just a...
I don't know either. You,
I don't know.
You started.
I went for the cheap joke and then I immediately regretted it. Watch this, bitches. I went to the movies a couple of days ago with my buddy and we saw Everybody Wants Some. Do you know that movie?
That's the Richard Linklater spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused.
You do know that movie. Yeah, I love that movie, Dazed and Confused. So and so did my buddy. So we checked this out. And it was really funny. I don't know if it was as good as Dazed and Confused, but definitely had some great lines. And certainly, I think you would enjoy it if you enjoy Dazed and Confused. Yeah, you know pretty much everything about it if you know what Dazed and Confused is. I don't have to tell you anything. But
that in the theater.
It takes place in the '80s. It's basically Dazed and Confused in the '80s.
I remember seeing Dazed and Confused in the theaters.
Yeah.
I thought it was the greatest movie I had ever seen.
Is that true?
I think I was like 15 when that movie came out. I was right in the wheelhouse for that movie when it came out.
I was in college.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah. It was, we love that movie. I've seen it a zillion times. I could do the whole movie right now, but I won't. Have you seen the trailer for Batman the Killing Joke?
I'm trying. I don't want to.
It doesn't give away anything. It's.
I know, and I've read it, so I don't know why I'm acting like I'm going to miss, right. You know, see something that I don't know.
This is one of those animated things?
This is rated R, and it's, it's a Warner Brothers animated feature with Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy. I'm very excited for this. I'm pretty much maximum hype level for this movie, but I know I can't watch it with Ty, but I will watch it with Mrs. Chibi and enjoy it. What else we got here? Kind of read this, bitches.
Yeah, I read a number one that came out this week to get hyped up for the Hasbro Cinematic Universe that's on the horizon here.
Right.
Micronauts number one came out. Did you guys read any of the Micronauts comics back in the 80s?
I didn't, but I'm familiar with them and the toys.
Right. Like, that's what I'm mainly familiar with, the toys. I read some of the comics. I don't know. I didn't intend to buy this when I went to the comic store, but it's that situation where they only had one left. And so it forced my hand. Like, if I don't buy it now, this one store that I go to will never have it again.
How did I ignore this entire toy line? I'm trying to figure this out.
It might have been a little past you, but I don't know.
I just don't even recognize.
Huh?
I don't know. It looks like it's my time frame. It looks pretty budget, actually.
Well, yeah. It was kind of budget, but it had a whole, like, Marvel comic that went along with it back in the day. It might have been, was it Marvel or was it Star? It's the same thing, but
no, it was Marvel. It wasn't part of the Star line.
Yeah. So now it's on IDW, which is where all the Hasbro Cinematic Universe titles lie. And I don't know. I liked the first issue of it. I don't have any idea who these characters are, though. Like, it's very much a Guardians of the Galaxy type feel to it. They're space people out doing space adventures, and I don't know, if they have some different, like, power suits and stuff. There's a robot. Aww.
The toys look like straight garbage, I gotta say.
They were a little wonky. They could be, like, the arms and legs would get very loose quickly, if I remember correctly.
It looks like they were made by blind people. No offense. The blind people.
I'm not blind. I don't take any offense.
What else we got here?
I was going to say, if you have Marvel Unlimited, I read Weird World this week, the miniseries that was part of Secret Wars. And I know Shipwreck doesn't have Marvel Unlimited, but if you do get it, Ship, you should read it, because it has some, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it has a nice surprise in there that made me think of it when you brought up Micronauts. I think you would actually get a kick out of it. It's only 5 issues.
I've read some there. Of it. I read some of it, not through Marvel Unlimited, but I have read some of Weird World. Okay. But yes. I don't know what you're referencing, so that's okay.
Destro's in it, I'm pretty sure.
Great.
No. Nope.
No. All right.
I don't want to spoil it, because he hasn't read it, so I won't do that.
Is it anything in the Hasbro Cinematic Universe?
It's not. It's like Marvel's like, well, we don't have any of the Hasbro toys anymore, so I guess we'll use, and they use something else.
A black Go-bots. Dildo.
They use a black dildo. you got it out of me.
Yep. I got that black
you
dildo.
You got my black dildo out of me. Ah.
That was the sound.
Oh my.
Oh my. New releases.
Sure.
Besides the dildo. I mean, Wombat's ass.
Let's see here. PlayStation 4, some arcade archives came out. I know you're excited about Renegade.
I was, and I watched the video on YouTube, and I got my 100% fill. I played that game so much when I was little. I just hearing the music was like a little disturbing. It was just like, oh, too much.
I remember whenever I played Renegade, I wanted to play another game like it, but not Renegade. Like, I wanted to play Double Dragon or Bad Dudes or...
Yeah, there were a couple of River City Ransom.
Yeah.
Renegade was okay, though. It was fine.
It was fine. I just remember that was not the one I gravitated towards.
Right.
Am I reading this right? Did Jetpack Joyride release on the PlayStation 4 this week?
That's what the list from our friends at Tech Gaming says.
And they're charging for it?
$3. Sure.
I know, but I got my fill of this game for free like 5 years ago.
Jetpack Joyride's a good game. You can finally play it on your PlayStation 4.
Yeah, hey, you know, people like that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with, like, it's nothing surprises me anymore when I see a game ported to another console.
$3 is pretty cheap. You can't really complain.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. Speaking of games that were ported, Party Hard is out on consoles now.
And we're both playing it.
Oh, are you playing it?
I am playing it. I played it for like a good almost 2 hours last night.
I want to play that maybe. Like maybe I should. I have it on PC.
I'm interested to hear what Wombat has to say because I've talked quite a bit about it because it's a weird game.
It is a weird game. I like it. It's not easy, but you said that when you played and you talked about it when you played it on PC. It's not an easy game, and that first level probably took me longer than I guess it should have to finally complete.
Sure. It took me about, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes this time.
Oh, yeah. I think it took me 8 minutes.
I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. It took me 8 minutes to clear it out, but, you know, lots of tries.
Oh, okay.
No, not on my first try.
Yeah.
And I did the second level on my first try.
Nice.
Yeah, so I guess I was pleased with myself.
That second level can depend on what setup you get because there is some randomness to the levels.
The traps can randomize. You know, I realized that when I died a lot in the first level, but dying a lot on the first level made me understand the second level a little bit better. So there, I guess. I don't know. it's very good. I would say my only complaint, and maybe this gets, you know, because there's a lot of levels in the game and I've only played two, so my only complaint in the first two levels is I would like there to, if there were more traps, the first level, this isn't a spoiler of any type, they want you to kill, I think it's 53 people
that changes as well.
Huh?
That changes as well. Like it can be 53, it could be up to 60, it just depends on what the level setup is,
and that's a lot of people.
Sure.
And for those who aren't familiar with the game, which we didn't say at all, it's a pixel 8-bit style looking game, and you play a serial killer at a party, and you're killing everyone at the party. And it's very reminiscent of, and I think you mentioned this before, you know, similar to like a Spy versus Spy, but as a single player game, we're using traps in the environment to kind of set people to die.
Yeah, basically you either can set a trap for people to die or your other option is to stab them. Those are your two main ways of getting rid of people.
And the goal is to be stealthy and not get arrested, because if someone sees a dead body, they call the cops. And if the person sees you murdering, they'll rat you out to the cops. And then you get arrested and you have to redo the level. So it just seems like there weren't enough traps for the amount of people they want you to kill, and killing people with traps is significantly more satisfying than stabbing people. So even if I killed 15 people with traps, because there were only, say, 7 traps in the level, that still leaves, you know, whatever, I don't know, I'm not, you know, 40-some-odd people that I would need to kill with just stabby. Which means going into a room and waiting for that person to be the only person in the room, and then stabbing that person so no one sees you, and then kind of just going around and waiting.
There's a little strategy to it, but there is some certainly waiting to see where people walk to and that type of thing.
Yeah, to stab them. And I think that the traps are a little more inventive. That's pretty much my only complaint. I still think it's a very fun game and I will continue to play it.
The music is really cool, right?
The music is very cool. Sometimes you're finding your character on screen can be a little difficult because there isn't that much differentiation between what you look like and what the other characters look like. But if you hold down the A button, you start to dance and light glows around you. So if you lose yourself on the screen,
that's cool.
That's my tip.
And that's actually useful too, to dance.
Yes.
You can get people to either follow you or get pissed off that you're dancing next to them.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's how I started stabbing people. So I would go on the dance floor, would let them get angry and run off.
Very realistic, actually.
Yeah.
In real life, too. You know, you can get people to follow you or to get annoyed with you and move away.
No, again, the traps are very inventive and it's worth playing. And yes, it's a little disturbing that you're a serial killer. but I enjoy it so far. So far,
the cutscenes are pretty harsh. It's a weird, like it's like almost like a Rockstar level of violence in the cutscenes. You know what I'm talking about? Where they're doing like the cop interrogation mm-hmm. scenes.
Yeah,
I don't know, that part is a little bit weird. I don't feel so bad stabbing all these little like
yeah, because they don't characters. Look like real people.
Yeah.
Do you think the game would be better if the graphics were a little tighter, like if the people look, if it wasn't pixel graphics?
I think it's on, like I'm playing on my projector, and it's not as crisp as what it was on the PC when I was playing on a small PC screen. So I don't know if that factors in, but I'm finding the console version much easier this time around than when I was kind of like fiddling my way through the PC version.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else we got this week?
It's a fun game. Tales from the Borderlands got a retail release, so that's out there on disc now. Let's see. Am I forgetting anything very big? We talked about Star Fox Zero coming out last week on the Wii U. No new news there.
Pinball?
I guess Pinball Arcade came out for Wii U, and also, Pinball Effects 2 got the Aliens versus Pinball Tables, which I know Wombat and I have been playing as well.
Yep. It's Aliens, Alien Isolation, and Alien versus Predator. And they're good. Really good. The Aliens table has actual movie clip voices, like Bill Paxton saying, cool. Game over, man. Game
that's
over.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And that, you know, that and has that very... You know, that sparse music soundtrack.
The sounds in that one are fantastic. And it's got the alien in the background that can grab your ball and eat it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And the alien queen in the background. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's got a lot going on that table.
Yeah, that's the best of the three.
Agreed. Yes.
And I think
which one was the best?
Aliens.
Okay.
The one based upon the movie. I guess Alien vs. Predators. Was that was a movie eventually too?
Yes, that table is taken straight from the first Alien versus Predator movie.
Okay, I didn't know if it was based upon that. I'm not a big Alien guy. Like I've seen the movies, but
yeah, Alien versus Predator is not a very good movie. But the table, I guess, if anything, is accurate. I don't know.
It's got a lot going on with that table. Like you're getting different weapons. And I don't know. I have not played that enough to get very far with any of the mission structure in that one. Unlike Aliens, where it seems like missions are coming at you pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And it has a lot of like different like new screen stuff in that Aliens one also.
Yeah.
Which I'm always a fan of in these tables.
So. And then Alien Isolation. I played a little bit of that table.
I never played that game, so
right. That's the disconnect with me on that one as well. I don't know. Aliens is the one to get if you're going to get just
if
one
you're
of
only
going to
get one.
And I don't know, are they available separately or is it just in a bundle?
I do not know.
If they're in a bundle, I think Aliens is good enough to buy the bundle as well, because the other two are not bad. They're just not as great as what that Aliens table is.
Yeah, yes, all three tables are very good, but they don't make bad tables, right. Zen. So,
cool.
Bless you.
That Aliens table feels like a table that that would have been put out for the movie, like something that was out there in the real world.
Yeah, it almost makes me wish they had an Alien table, because I would have liked to see what they would have done with
it. I'm wondering if maybe they have something in the future planned for other Alien movies. Because it's a weird mixture there of the three properties they got.
Yes, but it works, and the tables are good.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else this week?
I've been playing on PC. I've been playing a little bit of Western Press.
Western Press?
Yeah.
Okay. Never heard of that.
It's one of these... what was that game where you kicked people? Like, that was the whole thing. You just jumped around and kicked each other. Dive kick.
Oh,
dive
yeah, kick. Yeah, yeah.
These little games where it's like a quick little.
Oh, yeah, look at this. I'm looking at the video.
So, and the whole thing is it's quick draw Western thing, and it's all done by you have to hit like 10 button presses.
And oh God.
Based upon how quickly you can do that, you either get shot or you don't get shot. And it's got a little single player to it as well. It's
pixel graphics.
Yeah, pixel graphics. It kind of reminds me of Intellivision style graphics. Like higher res than that, but it's that.
This is the early PC. Actually, it looks a lot like those early Sierra adventure games.
Yeah, yeah, that style.
I can see the animations do anyway.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun. You can either play with a controller or keyboard, and the combinations get harder as you go along. So
the buttons, is this using a controller or it's a
you can either keyboard? Either way. With the controller, you're using the buttons on the controller and the D-pad and everything. On the PC, as far as I've played so far, it's WSD and the arrow keys so far. But it might be adding in more stuff as I get further up the ladder.
It says it's the most historically accurate Frontier dueling game. Probably. That's the description.
Pocahontas is one of the characters. I think it's Pocahuntress or something like that.
It looks fun. I'm going to maybe check it. It's cheap, too.
Yeah.
$5 or less.
Yeah, around $4 or something like that.
Cool. What else we got?
That's enough.
That's enough. That is enough. Should we talk about my VR adventure? Because I had one.
What about your doorbell?
My doorbell? Oh, I told you I had a problem with the doorbell.
What? Yeah, you hinted earlier that.
Yeah, I told you I was using if this then that to make it blink all the Philips Hue lights in the house whenever somebody rang the doorbell,
mm-hmm.
And it seemed like that would only work once or twice, and then it would lock up the doorbell so that you, whenever somebody rang the doorbell, it would not send any notifications or anything. So I had to turn that off and get rid of the light flashing thing, and then it works fine.
So you're having to reboot your doorbell, is what you're saying?
No. I just, on the if this, then that app, you know, you turn on these different recipes, right?
On the
right?
App itself.
Yeah, these are just different recipes, you know, for things, integration. You just, that doesn't work. It doesn't really seem to work properly, so you can't use it. Or I can't use it. Maybe it'll work for you. But, yeah. Wasn't that big of a deal, really. Unless you wanted the blinking lights. Was that a deal breaker for you?
Mrs. Shipwreck was interested in the blinking lights.
Why? Out of curiosity.
Because down here in our media room, she's scared if we have something turned up real loud that we won't notice if somebody's doing the doorbell ring.
Gotcha. Well, you can, it's going to be on your phone though. It'll buzz your phone and you
can
also.
That's what I told her, but she also went to the lights. She was intrigued by the lights.
Yeah. You could also buy a $30 doodad that goes into your electrical outlet. It's just a speaker basically. And that'll ring too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, I got to play with the Vive today. That's the premier VR headset. Courtesy,
not the Vive?
It's definitely not the Vive, as far as I could tell.
Viva?
Courtesy of our friend Ben Gilbert over at Tech Insider. He was nice enough just to have me over and play with his toys.
They have these in Microsoft stores now. I passed one at the mall the other day.
Yes, I got an email.
I was tempted to have one of the 9 Microsoft employees in that store that weren't helping anyone watch my 2-year-old daughter while I tried it, but
there was nobody in the store, right?
Right. Nobody in the store. But yeah, I didn't know if that was proper etiquette or not.
They're probably bored. Probably.
Right. She was having fun playing Just Dance.
Well, you obviously provide an excellent example of some of the hurdles that VR has to overcome in order to reach critical mass.
A staff of 9 people
to watch your kids while you play.
A roped off area so you don't punch anybody.
Yeah. So I use the Vive is the one that does the room scale VR, which means you can actually walk around while you're playing and everything, you know, is to scale. You have to put these 2 cubes up on the wall, and they actually physically drill them into the wall here, and they're both require AC power. So that's one part of the setup. 2 of these black cube thingamabobs have to be installed. And if you don't have an outlet right, you know, up high on your wall, which I doubt that most people do, you're going to have to run the cable down to the floor.
I installed some when we did my basement.
Did you really? For this purpose?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just in case.
Okay. High outlets?
Yeah.
Jeez, damn, I needed to have you down here and working on this project.
Next time.
No fucking next time. Yeah, so that's one thing you have to do in order to get this thing going. The other thing is this headset is, God, it's got so many wires coming out of it. But whatever. So I got set up in it, and the first thing I tried out was the lab. That's the sort of the tech demo collection.
That's the game where you play as a dog.
No, that's the tech demo collection from Valve. They put that out. You know, they have.
Is this the one where like you were shooting lasers or something?
There's a bunch of different mini games in there. Okay. It's, I mean, most of the stuff that I played are all just, I don't know, demos, proof of concept. I don't know what you want to call it. It's not something that you would spend $60 to play. I wouldn't even call them, I mean, you know, nothing's done yet, first of all, but even, I don't know, there's no like full games available really that that I played, I think, that are out now. But I know there's some for the Rift, but they're not like big games. You know what I'm saying?
They're indie level games. Like
they're indie level games, and they're
if you're going to play Surgeon Simulator or something like that.
Yeah, they had Surgeon Simulator on there. The problem that I had while I was playing all these different ones, and I'll talk about some different ones as we go, was that I could only take, and I was there, you know, I had all, you know, I had hours to try this thing out. I could only play this thing for like 15 minutes at a time before I had to take it off. I found not only was my head getting sweaty from playing it, but my whole body was getting sweaty. I don't know why that was. Like I was just wearing a t-shirt and I wasn't running around or anything, but it's intense. There's no question about it. There's a big difference between playing a game on your TV and having it completely envelop you. And it does something to your, at least to me, it does something to my body that says, you should
get
probably
be out.
Yeah, like you had yes. enough. Sit down on the floor and take this off. And I had to do that many times during my play session. And I'm not used to that when playing video games. I think that's sort of a new thing that we have to keep.
That you're only used to that when you go to take a leak.
Wait, what? I don't get it.
You fell yesterday in a sweaty pile.
Oh, no. I didn't fall on this one. But I'll tell you, I almost fell a few times. I was playing this game called Job Simulator.
Okay.
And this one, it starts you off and it lets you choose from a few different jobs, such as auto mechanic, chef, office worker, and I forgot the other one. I only did those three. That one was really fun. Again, it's not much of a game as it is a proof of concept or a demo or something cool to show your friends. It'll tell you to cook stuff and, you know, you open up the fridge.
It lets you feel like you actually have a job, Cheapy.
It does. You know, the Vive has those hand thingies that you use, the hand controllers, so which I've never used before. And it does make a big difference compared to the Rift because you can really get involved and you're picking shit up and throwing it down. You can throw, you know, you can actually juggle stuff. Like you have that much control over it. But you know, of course, after like 15, 20 minutes, you gotta take a break. Yeah, you know, I have to admit, like I thought before I was going into this, I was ready to be proven completely wrong because there was so much stuff that I knew I was going to be able to see today.
I don't think you're going to be proven wrong ever. I think we know what this is.
I was expecting to be proven wrong. And then after I used it for an hour or so, I was like, no, I guess I was pretty right, actually.
I think people need to understand that like it's not like we haven't tried this stuff. We understand what it is and it's not for us, I don't think.
This one, like I wasn't sure because we haven't tried it that much, right? We played Eve Valkyrie on Oculus Rift. And what else have we played on there?
We played Dinosaur Island or whatever that one's called.
Right. It's going to be turning into something else. I forgot.
Yeah. I've played some stuff here locally at Jared Newman's house. He has some of this stuff. I've played a couple other things right in there as well, but I don't know. I've always come away going, yep, that feels like something I'd want to pay $2 for it at Dave & Buster's.
That's where it needs to be. I mean, because right, you just can't take too much of it. And it is a big fucking setup. I mean, look, I mean, in Ben's office, this was in a separate room specifically for this. There was nothing else in there. He had it like cordoned off with a dry erase board so nobody could get in there, and written on the boards was saying, do not come in here. Do not touch anything in here. Please, please, you know, because people want to come and look at it and inevitably fuck it up somehow.
Perfect for houses that have small children.
Of course, when I was playing, I played a bunch of different games. I played a game called Selfie Tennis, which was pretty funny. You basically tennis against yourself.
One. Yep.
I hit the wall with the controller 2 or 3 times with that one. But, it, you know, it does.
Did they freak out every time you did that? Like you were going
to
break
it? Ben was laughing. He wanted me to break it so bad. You know, he was just, I just hear laughing out of, you know. I had the headphones on, so it was hard to hear. I'm like, oops. And I hear him dying laughing. It shows you in the game, you know, in your headset, when you get close to the wall, like a grid shows up. So you know when you're close to the wall, but I tend to be able to ignore that very easily. It's just like, fuck it. You're so into it. You're so, you know, immersed that you just ignore the fucking wall and swing at it anyway. I played a game called Budget Cuts, which is an early alpha. It's not a game, which it has you basically sneaking into an office and avoiding robots trying to shoot you, and doing some light puzzle solving, which was really a pretty cool experience because you're bending over and looking into holes and you're peering around corners to see if the robot can see you. It's, you know, it was a very cool experience, but again, 15 minutes, and it's, this one especially was pretty intense. Maybe I couldn't even do 15 minutes on that one. I played The Brush, which is the Google drawing one. It was cool, but you know.
I think it's kind of the equivalent of like, do you want to ride a roller coaster for a half hour?
That's it.
It is like the 2 minutes of roller coaster what you want, because I love roller coasters, but I don't need to be on there for 15 minutes.
I think, first of all, this thing needs to be wireless, like as soon as possible. It's constantly getting in your way when you're trying to do this room scale stuff. It's like this big, thick thing of cables going down your back. It's not hooked on to anything. It's just free to trip you up. A couple times when playing Job Simulator, you're trying to, like, you can be on the floor, like picking stuff off the floor, and you see like a cabinet or something, and you think, oh, I'll just hold on to this cabinet to help myself stand up. And you try to lean on it, and obviously there's no fucking cabinet there. And Ben was telling me that one of his coworkers just fell over, you know, trying to lean on some furniture that was not there. And I did that about 3 times, but I didn't actually fall over. I stopped myself. I don't know, man. People could get hurt doing this shit. I had a great time doing it, but I'm going to wait on this. And I appreciate everybody beta testing this shit for us. Thank you. Yeah, so this thing is really a few years away from, several years away from being any type of widespread form of entertainment, I think. But it was fun, I think. All right, what's next? Wombat's news and stuff?
Huh?
You still there?
Still here?
I'm still here. You were talking about the VR, and I was about as bored about that as I am about VR. So, good job.
Right. Well, I'm not here to entertain you, actually. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you know how this show works.
Right.
I did not know
You don't
that,
even listen
actually.
To the show, I'm sure. I mean, I don't, so.
Well,
I chose these Wombat's News and Stuff bits, so I don't know if you've actually read them or not. Did you look at these?
I was just reading the Jim Sterling one.
It's pretty interesting, right?
It is interesting.
So Jim Sterling is a game journalist who used to work for Destructoid and also Escapist, I think. Went on his own to do a Patreon and puts out a lot of YouTube videos, I think. And he probably writes stuff too. As you know, the reason he went this route is because he wanted to avoid ads, basically having to deal with ads of any kind in his work. So when he puts out these YouTube videos, he doesn't want ads in them. And the problem was he has to show game footage to be competitive in his videos. But then they're going to get content ID'd, and whoever has the right to the music or the game footage is going to run ads against his video and make money off it. And he doesn't want ads in the video. He doesn't want any ads. Doesn't matter who's making the money. So he figured out that if he just puts random game footage from other people who are in the content ID system and gets multiple hits on the same video, that nobody can monetize it and nobody can put ads on it. So the video remains ad-free. I thought that was really clever. And it'll be interesting to see if YouTube has a reaction to that. But I don't see what they could do except split it like four ways. I mean, I guess that could happen. But I don't know. Very clever.
Yes.
You saw this other thing here?
The Call of Duty. So it looks like we may be getting a Modern Warfare remaster this fall with our new Call of Duty Infinite Warfare game. According to a picture, a photograph of what, a store display? Is that what it is?
I think it was a PlayStation store screen cap, I believe.
There you go.
That's a pretty generic title for a Call of Duty game. Infinite Warfare? No?
There was Modern Warfare, sure. And there was...
How about Warfare?
All of these sound pretty generic to me for Call of Duty.
I guess you're right. I would have went with Call of Duty Warfare Forever. That would be good. I'm always a big fan of Forever.
I would go with that. Warfare Lives.
That's
good,
too.
With an exclamation point.
That's good, too.
I guess people have interest in this, of Modern Warfare. I mean, it's fine, I guess. So it comes with the special edition. I don't know. How many people want to play an old Call of Duty game?
Remaster. They're going to remaster that, though. Do they have to pack this in now to get people to pay $60 for a Call of Duty game, or is this only with like the super edition?
And is this the whole game, like the multiplayer and the single player?
We have no details because this hasn't been officially
announced.
Tell
me details, Wombat.
It could just be remastered, different remastered games.
You may have to wait until E3 to really know what they're doing here.
Activision's not going to be there, I thought.
No, but they'll have an... Aren't they doing a press conference that week, though?
PlayStation's the home of this now, right?
Yes.
It's
PlayStation exclusive.
All right, we'll find out. We'll get back to you on that. Speaking of Sony, did you see this little tidbit here? Uncharted 4, like a case of Uncharted 4s were stolen in the UK. Yoshida went on the PlayStation blog and told people the news and is like, hey, you may want to try to be very careful when you're on the internet because you may have some major story spoilers come out over the next, the game comes out pretty soon, right? Like next week, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, maybe.
May 10th, I believe.
Soon. So, potential spoilers. Does that mean when he says something like that, does that mean that Drake dies? Definitely.
I think that at the end of it, he retires and opens a hot dog shop.
And gets murdered on the first day. Yes. By just like random guy.
I think
every
one of these
Drake's
games,
hot dogs.
I just go in thinking Sully is definitely going to die. And he might have died in one of these games already. I don't remember.
He's been shot a lot.
Right.
That's for sure. I'm still playing Ratchet and Clank. Either of you guys picked that up yet?
Nope. I picked it up, but I have not played it at all.
That's so good. So
I may go
good.
See the movie this week.
Oh, is that when does that come out? Friday?
Yeah, I think Friday. Thursday.
I wonder
Friday.
If Sabrina
Whatever
would
movies
like
that. Come out now.
Any reviews on that yet? I don't think so, right? I looked yesterday. The game is really good. You should pick that up, even if you played it on PS2. I mean, just graphics are so awesome. It's beautiful. You'll say wow a couple of times. What else we got here? Some questions. I forgot to put this guy's name on here, but I have his question. So whoever you are, thank you. Do you think PS4K will use the extra power to offer PS3 backwards compatibility? It wasn't mentioned in the Giant Bomb leak. And that seems like a pretty big feature. It sounds like maybe no. And do you think... at this point, Sony has any real incentive to offer PS3 backwards compatibility? I mean, I don't think anybody's holding out really because of that, right?
there might be some people. I mean, it would be nice if they did it just because everybody has large PS3 libraries. But they offer so much of that stuff for sale.
Right. It's already a little counterproductive, perhaps.
If they want to try to go the Microsoft route, I guess they could. But which is put them all out there backwards compatible on the store and everything.
But they're selling a lot more than Microsoft, so they don't really need to do that.
Right.
I don't know how motivated they are to do that.
I love that Microsoft thing, though. Like, going on there every week, it seems like every week at least, and going over there to, like, what's ready to install.
Yeah, it is fun.
Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime is finally available to play on Xbox One.
Dude, NBA Jam, man. NBA Jam. That shit's awesome. When's the new NBA Jam coming out? What's the holdup there? Is that not going to make money if they make that?
I don't know if the last one did.
I mean, the iPhone game was pretty much in the top 20 iTunes charts for forever, which is like a decent sign that it's still relevant.
Boom shakalaka.
That's right. Should we talk about Nintendo now?
Nintendo, what news do they have?
Oh, not good news if you're a Nintendo fan or a stockholder. So the big news today from Nintendo is, one, they're only going to be releasing, showing one game at E3 this year.
Playable. Have one playable game.
They
will be showing more.
Oh.
There's only going to be one playable game.
There may be like a movie screen with a sizzle reel.
I'm sure there will be that type of thing.
Sorry. So Zelda for Wii U will be playable at E3, and that's the only game that will be playable at the Nintendo booth, it sounds like.
And why is that?
Because the NX is coming out next year.
No. That's not Nintendo's reason.
Oh, because they need you to have a complete immersion when playing Zelda. That's really a weak response.
So now we know that the giveaway this year is going to be green tunics for everybody.
The weirdest part about this is that's the only game that's going to be playable. And you're playing it on the console that is going to have the inferior version. At least we assume that that's the case. Like, they've already announced it's coming to NX. So
on the same day,
Do they have it playable on the NX?
No, there's not going to be NX at E3, they say.
Yeah.
Oh, did they say that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird.
It's not good.
I mean, it's not... It's not that big of a departure from recent years from Nintendo. I mean, what did they have last year there? They had Mario Maker.
And a lot more than one. I'm not great at math, but it was way more than one.
Maybe three times more than one?
No, come on. Really? No, it was had 10 games or more.
Nintendo published ones?
Oh, I don't know about Nintendo published ones. At their booth.
Right. Well, this is saying Nintendo will only have one playable game.
I see.
That doesn't mean that there might be a Skylanders or something floating about.
Well, then I better get to E3. They're going to have playable Skylanders on the Wii U. You didn't say that.
Right.
So I'm just
trying to find out where I get my E3 Skylander since they don't have a booth this year.
And no Infinity. No Disney, right?
No, Disney Infinity.
I don't know. Like, do we need to go to Disney or something?
Right.
Is there going to be enough
day
to see?
Planned for Disneyland.
I mean, at E3 this year over 3 days?
You guys have fun. What you should do, Cheapy, is just stay home. I'll take off and we'll hang out at your house and watch all the press conferences on TV. And, I don't know, order in some food. It'll be a good time.
I like LA, though.
Yeah. It'll be warm here. It's June in New York.
You can watch Wombat work.
Yeah. You can totally watch me work.
Was that it for the Nintendo news? I can't remember. They sold the Mariners also.
Yes.
They were the major shareholders. They're going to keep 10% of the Mariners.
Okay.
They're selling their stake in the Mariners.
Well, except for 10%.
They're selling marinated steaks.
Right. Let's see.
Of course, the news that the NX is next year.
Right. That's
in March.
And that they're not showing it at E3. I don't know. It's not. I mean, they're not going to be selling very many Wii U's this year. That's for sure.
Are you going to read this from USF H-Bomb?
Yeah, I was going to read that. You can go ahead.
Okay. he is asking, is Nintendo's decision to have only Zelda and no NX at E3 an indictment of Nintendo's ineptitude or E3's irrelevance? It's a little bit of here, a little bit of there. Like, I don't completely buy into this E3 is useless argument. I think it's still the best time to get your message out to the non-gaming public.
Yeah,
this is still the one big gaming event every year that the public knows about.
It's your one chance to get a headline on a newspaper.
Right. This is your USA Today moment.
Right. And had them fuck up who makes which console.
I think it's not so much that it's E3 is irrelevant. I think E3 is changing where, you know, I feel as though I could get all the news I need to get from E3 without being.
Of course. Of course. That's I don't think anybody.
4 years. 4 years ago, that wasn't the case.
True.
I couldn't watch every press conference from home 4 years ago.
Yeah, I would say to answer this guy's question, I would say if Nintendo had no booth at E3, or Nintendo had a much smaller presence at E3, like in terms of how much money they're laying out, then yes, that would be a pretty good measure that E3 is not important to them anymore. But chances are, it's just they don't have a lot of stuff ready. They don't feel confident showing stuff now.
If you have something big, you're bringing it to E3 still.
Yeah, of course.
You're not holding off on it because you have another event. If you have something big and it's ready, you're shooting for E3.
Definitely. I mean, look, they just dropped a shitload of bad news on their stockholders today. If you had some good news that you could offer in June, you would totally do it. You have an obligation to do it. What else we got here?
When do you think they show the NX for the first time if it's not at E3? Tokyo Game Show?
They don't go to Tokyo.
They don't go to that.
I know. I'm asking.
They could do their own event that they have done in the past.
They'll have their own event.
In Japan.
A Nintendo Direct.
In Japan. Like Space World or whatever they called it. I don't even know if they'll do that.
I'm just thinking they'll do a.
Do you think that's the push though, Chibi? Do you think it's they'll do something in Japan and the announcement will basically be secondhand news for the U.S. or do they do something that's U.S. facing in order to get the American market excited?
Look, I mean, if they were smart, you got to get the Western audience excited, and that's your focus. That's where the money is. I don't know that the management recognizes that or wants to follow that plan, but that's what I would do. You have to do something that appeals to the West, and I think an event in Tokyo is not that. So
they need to have like Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. dressed as Iron Man, fly down holding the new Nintendo NX and say, "It's awesome, America," with flags behind him and an eagle.
Or Trump doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I like Iron Man better.
Well, you know what? You do both. That way you have all the bases covered.
There you go.
Get everybody in.
Everybody.
Unite. What else we got here? At Braden Manning writes in and says, if the NX is a rumored hybrid console. How would this work in multi-child households? He's saying if there's one console that's supposed to be serving content to a handheld, we don't know how it could work. I mean, I don't know necessarily that the home console is going to act as some sort of streaming system to the handheld units. It doesn't necessarily need to work that way. And I'm sure they know that people have more than one kid and they want to sell multiple units to multiple families. So I'm sure they're going
to
work.
I don't know. The rumor is they were going to try to sell multiple screen pads to people for the Wii U. Remember that those days?
Did they ever wind up doing that?
Didn't happen.
No.
Why? They couldn't figure out how to make them cheap enough to sell to people without losing money?
It's pretty expensive to buy a Wii U gamepad.
It's pretty expensive to buy a Wii U, period.
When's that price drop coming?
Never.
And does it even matter? You know it's a lame duck system.
It's a lame duck system that, you know, and I'll say it as someone who doesn't own one. There are a lot of games in that console I'd like to play.
But you could probably just hold off and hope that there's some backwards compatibility on the
or something. Or, I don't know. I'll survive.
Yeah, you're not going to go through the trouble of buying it and hooking it up and all that shit and having it take up space just to play a few games at this point anyway.
Well, I think you probably also assume in your head that all of the games that are on Wii U, there will be a version of those, whether or not it's the same game or not, but there's going to be
something similar.
Yeah, there's going to be a Splatoon. Yeah. There's going to be a Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers.
The Wii U died too quickly to abandon.
New these. Super Mario Brothers NX.
Yeah. Whew, what a fuck up. Hoo-ah. You thought Microsoft fucked up. Everybody was talking about that fuck up. That was nothing. They're still in the game, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure 3DS sales aren't doing that great either. I know they
what's a 3DS?
they I think they downgraded their expectations for that, for sales for that. But hey. What else we got here? Microsoft's got a spring bundle that's coming out. It seems like a pretty good deal if you're in the market. It comes with the 1 terabyte system plus Halo 5, Gears of War Ultimate Edition, Rare Replay, and Ori and the Blind Forest for $350.
That's a really good deal.
That's a lot of content right there.
That's a lot of content for $350. I mean, if you wanted an Xbox One, there you go. I don't, even if there's a better deal in holiday time, I don't think you would feel bad about buying that.
I'd like to try that Ori game at some point. I haven't even really, I don't really know much about it. No, I don't.
I've never played it.
That's a good game. You should play that.
So many games.
I know.
I think it might be too hard in places for you, Wombat.
Yes.
But not for me, because I'm awesome.
Oh, wow. Somehow by saying Xbox One and Ori, my TV just turned on.
And now you own the game.
And you now own Ori.
Xbox, turn off. Yes. I was like, what is that noise? And I turned around. Oh, Fios One.
What else we got here from Microsoft? Ship, you playing some games or something?
Yeah, I bought all four of those Namco arcade games that came out for it last week.
Are they nice?
They do look nice. I mean, the menus, the overlays that are with them are nice. They have achievements. It's four good games. It's Ms. Pac-Man and Pac-Man and Dig Dug and Galaga. So they all play well. You can rotate the screen. You can play them upside down if you'd like.
That's perfect.
Right.
I assume that's for people who have a setup to play the screen vertically.
Well, yeah, you can rotate it in 90-degree increments. So yeah, if it was vertical, you could do it that way. The upside down one, I'm not quite sure of what scenario, how many people are out there that really need the game to be able to play it upside down. Is there
maybe there are people who like to put mirrors on their floor?
Hmm.
It's not an option in most games that I know of. So
no.
All right, score.
Yeah. So those they're good though. They're good ports. Yeah.
What else?
I spoke about this a couple weeks ago, being interested in it, and I picked up a Letter Quest Remastered, which is, I don't know, basically you get a boggle board full of letters and you make words to fight against little RPG enemies.
Oh yeah.
It's not like, I don't know, oh my God, awesome or anything, but it's entertaining. It's got nice little, you can play through each level four different ways. So they have the first way is just like, okay, beat the level. And the second way is beat the level, I don't know, and like using only three words. And then the other two ways are, it just gets harder, has a quirky little mission to it. So it has a decent amount of content there. I don't know. It's at least kind of inventive. And I like word games.
I didn't know that about you.
Who doesn't like word games, really? Word games are pretty good.
All right.
You don't like word games?
I like them okay. I'm not that bright, so I have a hard time with them. But I like that one, that iPhone one that was popular for a while, where you could sometimes get like it to say dirty things. What was
Alpha
that
Bear?
Yeah, I like that one.
That was a good game, Alpha Bear.
Yep. PC. I was just playing the Dreadnought closed beta today. That just started today. Do you remember us playing that at E3?
I do.
That's the ship.
Big spaceships.
Big spaceship multiplayer, competitive multiplayer.
Like shooter. Star Destroyer size spaceships.
Well, there's different sizes. You can pick smaller ones. Basically, it's you have teams of five or six. I can't remember. You can choose what kind of ship you want, and they have, you know, small, fast ships up to big, you know, Star Destroyer or Dreadnoughts, I guess, is the big one. I don't know. This is a really fun game and a unique game because it's not easy to make it like a multiplayer shooter and have it feel different, because at the end of the day, you know, click left shoots, you know, you're using,
you know, WASD. You know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
Is like the ship combat in the Assassin's Creed games, the boat combat, but with verticality added in as well.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, when did we see that E3? Like 2 years ago?
I was there.
I think we've seen it at two straight E3s.
No.
Last E3, they canceled. They did not show up.
Right. There was an empty room. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So were you there, Wombat?
I was there.
3 years ago?
He was there.
Is that three?
No, I was there. I wasn't there last year, but I was there the year before.
It's really cool and feels really different than any other multiplayer shooter because these ships, most of the ships are pretty slow. It's really, I don't know how, I haven't taken the fastest ship yet, so I don't know exactly how fast it is, but this is not a game where people are zooming around the maps. So you're using your environment to sort of conceal yourself and to get the right angle on people. You have all these special attacks that, you know, have cooldowns that, you know, be pretty familiar with. The game looks great. I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I don't suck at it. Like my kill ratio is one or higher, which is unusual for me. I'm usually in the sad zone.
Well, it doesn't fit into a typical zone. Like, it's not a twitch based shooter. So
yeah, it's more about being aware of all the ships that are around you, where your team is, where the other team is, you know, what's the environment like. I've only played a few rounds, so I'm not certainly an expert, but so far this game is pretty fun, this Dreadnought. So keep an eye out for that.
We can try and play that some, because I downloaded it right before the show, but I haven't not had a chance yet.
It's really fun. Take the tutorial. I really like it so far. I'm looking forward to playing more. I just saw this, while we're talking about PC, I just saw this story about The Division and how there's a lot of cheaters, especially, I think maybe just only on PC. I didn't really follow this 100%, but it seems like the way that the game was made makes it particularly susceptible to cheaters, and it sounds like it's not something that can be fixed based on experts who have looked at it. There's something about the architecture of the game that would require significant rewrites that, you know, it's not going to happen on PC. So that's not good news.
Nope.
Doesn't encourage me to want to play that very much more.
Well, you could always play the other half of the game.
What do you mean the other half?
They're talking about the PvP section.
Oh, is it only the PvP stuff? Okay, right, because you're playing against with people the other time.
Yeah. Okay. So there's still a good 50 hours a game you could probably play.
Right. Okay. Good to know. It's not all bad, I guess.
It's not all doom and gloom. It's, you know, it's, again, I think that, you know, my theory on this game is that it probably started out as just that dark zone. Then they're like, we got to do something to make this game a little bit more appealing to the masses. And then they started that other section around it. But I think the other section around it might be better. So.
Right.
What can you do? That's all based on nothing, by the way. If anyone's wondering where I got that idea from, I made it up.
Right. Cagbag, let's make up some more stuff. At Scott HDC asks, has Shipwreck gotten any new retro games or systems, and has he played any retro games recently?
I haven't played a lot of retro too recently, but I did get I bought some Intellivision games this past week. I don't have them in my possession.
Oh, yet, which ones? Tell me, because I like Intellivision.
Dig Dug.
Okay.
Didn't you just buy that for a console that you have?
Why? Why Dig Dug?
Because I like the box art.
How much was it?
I paid $80 for a lot of Intellivision games.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say you paid $80 for Dig Dug. Okay, keep going with the list then.
There was Commando.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking of the rarer ones. And there was a Dungeons and Dragons game that was this I didn't have either that was pretty rare.
Okay. The sequel?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Even I don't think I played that one.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared completely for this question because I have the list of what they are, but not on me.
Well, we need to follow up next week because I love me some Intellivision.
Yeah, I'll post a picture of them when I have them.
Did you get Tron Deadly Discs? That's the best.
I have that, but I think it's in this collection as well. There was two different Tron games in the collection.
That's the
Did
best.
Did you get Masters of the Universe?
I have a sealed version of that I'm looking at on my shelf right now.
Excellent. I like that game.
Sure.
Yeah. You flew around in that spaceship that I only ever saw in that game and as the toy.
Yeah. These are coming from a friend of mine's wife's parents. Like they just found a box of them in their basement. So
nice.
They're all complete in box and everything.
Beauty.
Yep. I'm excited about that. But
you should take a picture. Post it.
I will when I have them.
Okay.
How about that, Wombat?
Fine then.
At MLR443 writes in and asks me if I'm still wearing the Apple Watch, because I guess the rumors are coming out. Have they announced the second one yet? Or we're just expecting that soon? I still wear it every day. A lot, you know, I gave up on the Pebble pretty quickly. I only wear this for two reasons: to get the notifications, the text, you know, basically text notifications and email notifications, and the step counter. And, you know, the fitness stuff, basically. That's it. The apps are all...
What about the time of day?
And the time, of course, and date. And the weather actually is very good on it as well. Everything else, all the other apps are straight garbage. They take way too long to load. You'll never, ever use them. It's always faster just to pull the phone out. But those two or three things, it does very well. I have no problem with the battery ever even getting close to running out. I wear it every day. It's my watch.
Does it tell you when your doorbell rings?
Yes, it does.
Perfect.
Get a push notification. You can get a push notification from anything that can go to your phone. So, all right. I think that's the show. Are you still there, Wombat?
I'm here.
Okay. Just making sure. I don't want to lose you.
I'm fine.
Good. Well, let's thank everybody for listening and follow us on Twitter @GBD, @NewWombat, @Shipwreck, @VideoGameDeals, which just passed 125,000 followers. Congratulations to @Thorbon3. And what else? Anything else we have to add before we go? You did a new Uninformed Opinions, Wombat, this week?
I did do a new Uninformed Opinions this week.
What's it about? Why don't you just tell me what it's about?
Social media.
What do you know about social media?
I don't. That's why the show's called Uninformed Opinions.
What was the takeaway?
That we like it.
What a revelation.
I know. What do you want me to...
I don't know. I want
to
be...
Listen to the show. You tell me what I took away.
I'm listening to a lot of Howard Stern while my family is away.
Sounds reasonable.
I need to have somebody talking to me in the house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week.
Fred's son.
This is the world of the Micronauts. A Croyer, the enemy, and the Micronaut Space Warriors. All sold separately. Space Glider. Galactic Warrior. Time Traveler. Made to fit the Micronaut vehicles, like the Photon Sled. You can stage make-believe battles against a Croyer. Like all Micronauts, a Croyer has interchangeable parts, so you can create your own toys. Micronauts, made of plastic and die-cast metal, each sold separately by Mego.